We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors. It's time for Laurie and Lynn. Local talk to start your weekend right. And now, Laurie and Lynn on WILK.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show. Good morning. I'm Laurie Cadden. Joining me today in Lynn's absence, she's even sitting in her chair, is the lovely, one of our monthly wonderful sponsors, attorney Barbara J. O'Hara. She's in because her segment is up next. So she is giving us a little extra time today to chit-chat with me and talk a little bit about what's been going on in good old town of northeastern Pennsylvania. And also Rachel Franduti is here. She is going to be on her third segment talking a little bit about the Scranton Cultural Center, one of its great, very long-running fundraisers will be coming up, Evening of Fine Food and Wine, so they're going to talk about that. But we're all sort of here for about an hour to talk. Uh-huh. And so thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Rachel.
You're welcome.
Nice to be here.
So, Barb, I have to give a big shout-out to Meyer. As you know, everybody here knows Meyer. A bowling tournament for Friendship House, which I am a very proud board member, past chairman, and I just love what they've done and what they do for our children. And as I always proudly say, the Friendship House is in existence so long, it's older than the county of Lackawanna itself. So it's a very wonderful.
I didn't realize they were that old.
I can't think of the exact, but it was, because I forget, when was Lackawanna County founded? You know that
it
trivia?
It used to be part of Luzerne.
I know. So when was it? 18.
I don't know the answer to that.
We'll figure it out. I'll look it up on a break.
Wow.
Anyway, this was a nonprofit prior to that. So I'm very, very thrilled to be part of it. Not that I've been around since then.
Okay, what's the Meyer connection here?
Because I have to give plugs where I give plugs to get my organizations. But he bowls. He's a bowler for 40 years.
Oh, great.
Down at Southside. And in at Southside Lanes.
So how'd Meyer do?
Like a Scranton guy. No, that isn't, it's nothing about how he did. He does bring a lot of bowlers to this tournament every year.
True.
And this year, and it's run by Gino Arcuri, and he does a wonderful job getting sponsors.
Gino's
and
a wonderful
he
guy.
Great. And the money is wonderful to third party fundraisers for them, and it's fabulous. So it's a wonderful day. And I stopped down this year because when I was chairman of the board, I went every year to stop in there or go up to the Waldorf because that's where they have their little post luncheon. Mm-hmm. And I stopped in just to see everybody. And so while I was there, I met this wonderful older gent who looks like he's, I'm not kidding you, he looks like he's about 70 years of age. And I can say his age on air because he listens and he told me it's okay. And he's actually 91 years old. So he was at the tournament, not bowling, but they're dressed to the max, all dapped up. And Meyer introduced me to him, and he said, I want to introduce you to my good buddy, Vito Trombetta. And I met, stood up because he was seated like a gentleman would, mm-hmm. shook my hand. And I'm telling you, Meyer's like, how old do you think this guy is? I said, I have no idea. And he said, 91. I said, oh, my God. His eyes were bright. Like, there was nothing older
terrific?
About this dude
yeah.
at all. And I said, oh, my God, Vito, you look like you're 70, like a good 20. Well, he looks, not that I'm, but 21 years young. You could peg the guy at 70. Moves well, looks good, his face, his beautiful skin, Italian, 100% Italian. I say it's got to be all that olive oil, tomato, all that good stuff that keeps Italians looking so good as they age. And so Meyer said, she's going to give you. So at the next week he's talking, he said, I'm so happy to have met Laurie. And Meyer was telling her about the radio show. And he said, I listened to her. Oh my God, I didn't really, you mean L-A-U-R-I-E and not L-O-R-I sort of. And because I make such a stink as I just did before. And Meyer said, yeah. And he goes, I listened. So Meyer said, maybe she'll give you a shout out. So a long story, because I got little plugs for lots of people along the way. But Vito Trombetta, we want to say big hello to you, buddy. And keep going and supporting. He goes down there on Monday nights. He roams. He goes all the time. And everybody loves him.
That's wonderful.
So think about that, because that kind of youth and enthusiasm to keep you young, it is about socialization and being part of things, I think. And Lynn and I talk about this all the time, Barbara, how important it is to feel like you're part of something as you age.
True.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, because your mom, how old
is
she?
My mom is 95. We just did her 95th birthday party. And we had 52 people at a restaurant. We had a great time. It was really, really nice. And my dad was one of seven, so I have a whole lot of cousins. And the family's gotten so big that you really don't get together unless it's a wake or a wedding. And actually now the weddings are getting to the point where you can't invite all the cousins.
No, because there's too many.
It's just too many.
So your mom, nationality is she?
Irish
too. So you're 100%.
Yes.
Okay. And so she has. Does she live alone? Living?
She lives with my sister, and she has an aide that comes in during the daytime to help her with bathing and stuff.
But
like
she
that.
Goes and
but, yeah, she goes. She goes out to dinner. She's
when the wheels are rolling, she's there, right?
Yes. Good weather. She's out of church. Otherwise, she watches on TV, and she used to. Be a Eucharistic minister and bring it out to other people, and now they're doing that for her.
Aww.
Because her legs aren't as good. But her mind's real sharp, and she'll tell you what's wrong with you.
Of course, she's Irish. Of course, she'll tell you more than what's wrong with you, Barb. I like to say
and
this.
Sassy.
Well, I like to say, instead of strongly opinion. A friend of mine from Philadelphia, one day I said something. I said, well, you're very opinionated, Rosie. She said, I'm not opinionated. I consider myself to be full of opinions. I said, there you go. She said, it sounds better than being opinionated.
She is full of opinions.
But don't you think that's such an Irish thing? Like my mother was the same way. My grandmother, I guess you could tell by this show, I have strong opinions. But I think it's just you grow
maybe
up and you end up like it, but I do think it is.
Yes. Yeah, they'll tell you what they're thinking and what they think of you.
I feel like once you hit a certain age too, like you've done your due diligence,
She lost her filter many years ago because my mom's been like that for a long time. Uh-huh. But and I asked her. I said, "What years go the fastest?" And she said, "Anything over 40," and it's all a blur now. But that the years go by real fast.
They do go by quickly.
Yeah. How long does a year feel to you now?
I don't know if I can put it in those terms, but I can tell you that when I'm like, for instance, this show is in its 10th year.
Yeah.
And I remember my business. I started my business the same year that I started this radio show with Lynn. Now, I had done radio a little bit before, but to do this weekly show that we committed to, and I left the Cultural Center can remember dates, but it was January 6th of 2010. And I think of, like, I was so afraid of all those things and to jump into it. So when I look back at just as we were talking, this is the 10th year we're doing this.
Isn't that amazing? It feel like 10?
No. So I feel like we just pulled up here yesterday. So 10 years feels like it just happened yesterday. Yeah. When I talk to old friends or people I haven't seen, it feels like we were just doing some of these things yesterday. Mm-hmm. So it all gets...
Or you make a plan for 3 months from now. And you think, oh, that's so
plenty
far
of time.
In the future.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden it's there.
I know.
I don't know.
Do you think it's quick?
Absolutely.
And what about from a millennial standpoint? What do you think? Where are you in this journey?
I feel like usually as it's happening, it feels slow. Like if I sit and think about what has actually happened, but then when I think back of like the course of a year, it feels like it went very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Or And I think the other thing is, for me personally, that's how it is. But like when I look at my nieces and nephews, I feel like they were just babies. And now like I have three of them in double digits.
Well, the other thing, Rachel, I think in what you do as the marketing, what's your exact title?
Marketing manager.
Manager at the Scranton Cultural Center. You because you have to plan so many months ahead. And I always think about that with fashion, people in fashion. Like we're just going, like we're still, are we still in winter? We are technically. So we're going then into spring and they're looking at like next year for fashion and colors and so you're always thinking so far ahead. And in what you do, you have to, because you have to plan out your year for media partners and all the events that go on there and make sure you have everything time allotted for each. That's what I do too, so that you automatically think long term. And it seems to
quite honestly, there were years where time didn't move quickly.
I guess.
I think when you're younger, I just felt
you
like...
Do you think it's because you think you have all this time ahead of you? As you get older, you start looking at what time you don't?
And quite honestly, we've lived longer than we're going to live.
Yeah, ahead of us, yes.
Ahead of us. So you look at this from the perspective of what years went slower, and in my life... Yeah, the years when I was working full time and having three kids and
Did you always work, Barbara?
Yes, yes.
Outside of the home, I should preface that because staying home is.
Well, you know what? I feel committed to my career, and I found myself even when I was on maternity leave, explaining to people I didn't need to tell that I was just on maternity leave and that I was going to go back to work. And people in a retail store do not need to know that. Mm-hmm. But I found that that's what I was doing. And I realized that a decent amount of my identity is tied up in what I do. And so, yes, the retail sales clerk did not need to know that I'm out on maternity leave. Not their business, but I was
because you felt
that.
Like did you feel like you weren't being productive in a way?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. When in fact, you're taking care of children, but you're doing very repetitive stuff all the time.
Yes.
There's not that sense of accomplishment of. I made breakfast, I cleaned up from breakfast. I made lunch, I cleaned up from lunch. You know, those kind of things where, you're teaching your kids things and entertaining and things like that. But there wasn't that sense of, and I got this accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was very repetitive stuff.
And it's almost expected, and it's what you have to do every day.
Yes.
You don't have to be in court every day if you weren't an attorney.
Right.
These are the things, and I think that's sort of what people think about.
Yeah.
But it is the hardest, because I've said this a million times, I stayed home for about 2.5 years after both of my children were born, and it was the hardest thing I ever did, because there was so much just to be there all the time 24/7 and have the focus of them and running the house and doing what you had to do. Mm-hmm. It was hard for me, because like you, I wanted to be doing something else. And with my older son, I was when I was selling real estate in downtown Philadelphia, and he was 2 weeks old after a C-section that I had, mm-hmm. and I had him in one of those little, what do you call those things that you wear in the front of you?
Bjorn?
Yeah, like right in front of, and I'm showing condos and townhouses in Center City, Philadelphia, with this 2-week-old baby running around in my car. To not do something right after a baby was weird for me. So I think I just felt like you could go all over.
I can do it all.
Yeah. And I thought I was doing it, and I think I did okay. But, you know, you just, it's all what I think it, all of this boils down to, because then we're so into some other realm here, but it all boils down, I think, to what you feel you need to do,
mm-hmm.
right? That to stay happy.
I just had that experience with my daughter who had a baby and said to me, "Oh, Mom, I don't feel like going back to work full time, and you're going to be disappointed in me." And I said, "Absolutely not. You do what's right for you."
Yeah, there you go.
And she started
sobbing. Saw you. See, she saw you.
And she thought that I would be disappointed that she wasn't going back full time. I said, whatever works for you is what you should do.
Right, right.
And, you know, she...
God, love
we
her.
We both cried.
Aww.
Yeah.
See, Bart, that's so nice. I love it. Yes, all right, well, we're going to have another conversation, this time more about the law and family law, which Attorney O'Hara has been practicing for 38 years. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Laurie and Lynn Show.
Here's Laurie and Lynn.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Laurie Cadden. You're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show. I am the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. Miss Lynn Evans is away for a few days on business, and even though I should have said to her, hey, I call in when I'm away. You call them out. I'm only kidding.
Hopefully but she's having to me, fun somewhere.
Oh, she's in Florida.
Oh.
So that's a good thing.
Oh, wait a minute. Business in Florida?
Yes.
Why aren't we in that business?
Exactly. So we have to give a big shout out to Lynn. And Lynn, I told you, said this before, but Barb's in your chair. She looks good there, too. So anyway, our first expert today will be Attorney Barbara J. O'Hara. Barbara is a partner with Hughes, Nichols, and O'Hara at 1421 East Drinker Street in Dunmore. Barbara, as I said earlier, has been practicing family law for the past 38 years, and we like to say she knows everything you need to know about family law. Now she's going, oh,
don't say,
but she's the best. We love her. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, Barb, what are we talking about today?
What we're talking about, a client of mine gave me this idea, and I was doing his second divorce, and he said, you really should talk to people about how to avoid divorce. And I thought, okay, fine, I'll do that. And I started researching some topics, and I know this is something that perhaps leads to a good conversation, Lori. But so some of these things, and what I find a lot of times is mostly men will say to me, I was completely blindsided. I didn't see this coming. Then all of a sudden my wife wants a divorce. And I'm thinking, how do you not see any signs of that? And I think it's perhaps a gender difference.
Yep.
That as long as life goes on, and there's dinner on the table, and your laundry's done, and you have time to sit down and watch the game, whatever, uh-huh. and you're living your best life, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not looking and saying, boy, how strong is our relationship? What are we doing lately to work on our relationship? And quite honestly, I don't think people do that enough. And also, I know from experience, you look at once life gets very busy with children, it's so easy not to remember that you need to nurture the couple
each
in
other,
you,
yeah,
and not just be parents. And I'll see a lot of people that they've gone for many years without really nurturing their relationship, and now the kids are gone, and now they look at each other as strangers and say, "Oh my gosh, like who are you?" And I don't know if I want to spend the rest of time with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I started researching this, you know, and a lot of these things I find borne out in my practice where they're saying, hey, how do you avoid the surprise and how do you avoid the divorce that in some relationships, I should not have said inevitable because lots of people don't divorce, but a lot of times that if you ignore certain signs that you should not ignore. Number one, listening to your spouse's concerns. So this all goes back to communication and how well do you communicate? Do you really listen to your partner, or is it just blah 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 blah, and they tone out? Either gender, that they tone out and not listen. Yes, I'm listening to you.
Yeah, do you find, Barbara, when you said that earlier, you said it's a gender thing, like you say you're surprised at how many men say, I didn't, and obviously you see that. Do you find more men say that than you hear women say
yes.
that?
Yes, yes.
So that's where
the gender difference is. And what I hear a lot of men say is, boy, didn't know she was unhappy. Then all of a sudden, she comes to me and says, hey, I'm done, and I want a divorce. And they look at you like, and many times they'll ask me, can you get her psychologically evaluated? Because I want to know what's wrong with her. And I said, No, the courts don't look at that, nor will they mandate an evaluation to say, why is it you wanted to give up on your 5-year, 10-year, 15-year marriage? And they'll say, no, you need to compel a psychological evaluation because something's wrong with her. And I'm thinking, no, it probably isn't that something's wrong, instead of, yeah, there's something wrong with the relationship, and that person, for whatever reason, feels unfulfilled or unhappy, and you've ignored all these signs all along, and all of a sudden you are surprised by this person saying, I don't want to stay here. I mean, I've had people say to me, not only do I not want to stay in this relationship, I don't want to be taking care of him as an old man. And I can see where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, that's all reality of life.
There's a woman I know, I won't mention her name, she said her husband passed away, and people spoke, you know, about anyone else, and she said, no, I don't want to be a nurse or a purse to any man.
That's an interesting, I've never heard her refer to that.
How about that?
Yes, that's true, but, I mean, there's the other flip side of that, where some people say, well, I'll stay with them because who else is going to take care of
me? I know.
And I mean, you know, these are not pretty, but the realities of life, that some people look at this and say, okay, fine, you know, what's going to happen next?
Well, I say this about people and about men. I think that most men don't want to be alone. So most men will remarry. Most, I think. More than a woman may. Okay?
I don't know the statistics,
I don't
but
know
I've
either.
Seen
that's
that.
Just my
anecdotally
opinion.
Anecdotally,
okay?
I'm just
saying that. Don't hold me to this. Yeah. It's just my opinion. And I think a lot has to do with, I think men do worry more than women about who will help them or take care of them later in life. I don't think they're consciously always thinking of it.
Who's going to do my laundry?
Who's
going to
do whatever?
Who's going to do that?
Right.
And
because women traditionally have that role.
But they weren't, the questions weren't, hey, you know, who's going to be my partner? Who do I share my innermost thoughts?
Who's going to take care of me?
It was, who's going to do my cooking and cleaning and laundry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it was, okay, fine. You can buy ready-made food. All right, fine. You can go.
Food.
You can take your clothes to a laundry. Okay, fine. And then, you know, you kind of talk them through that. Okay, we can replace those functions. But the sad reality is they're not saying, boy, we'll miss that intimacy that we had as a couple. I never get that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was kind of neat, though, I looked, and it's all out there now because of Alex Trebek and his announcing that he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And there was something, and when I Googled him, because I didn't see him do it, so I went this morning, and there was also another part of him in an interview that he had that he said, because his wife is 50-some years old,
that.
And
yes.
He's 78,
yeah.
And he said he wished he had met her earlier because it would be so good to have spent more time mm-hmm. with her, which is kind
Isn't
of
a wonderful
that,
thing.
That was I love that. I thought, oh my God,
yeah,
how wonderful.
But you
to
look
say.
At your mortality and say, if only I had more time with my wife.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
That's very nice.
Yeah, and they have 2 children. I don't know how long they're married, but still, that's a pretty cool thing to say to somebody.
Yes, it is.
I mean, we may think it, but do we ever really say it? You know, you say things like, "Well, who's going to do this? Who's going to?" You know, that's the thing. It's I don't know. I think it's all about, but anyway, keep
okay.
going, because we could
all
go
right.
on about
so,
that.
Yes, we could. Okay, so the next, in this article, they also raised that you're trying to change your spouse. Well, I see this both genders of, you know, hey.
Don't you think women more than men do that?
I see women more than men, and, you know, if you met him in the bar and you were both drinking,
I know it.
And you stopped drinking when you had kids and he kept drinking, you're married to an alcoholic, and that's no real surprise. However, there's some people that are not going to change that kind of a habit and may actually have a real serious addiction problem that they're not going to change. But also, you know, there's some things that are inherently fixed that you're not going to change. And I mean, if you're married to a person that doesn't open up, to expect them to be, you know, the type that is going to converse about all this is probably an unrealistic expectation. But you know, I find it's more women than men that expect, oh, I thought he would change when I got married. And people will tell me that, of, you know, what their expectations were.
But I can admit that I thought, and not for my own reasons, which I won't say, but I really believed I could do that when I first got married, that I could change someone. I could do whatever, and they could change. Mm-hmm. I just believed
that. And I think that's part of the optimism of youth, of, you know, hey, this is all going to work out, and, he'll change, or I'll change. We'll change together, and that things will get better. Next is not giving enough space, which, see that as a...
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Yes. Okay. The next is nitpicking. And you know what? You see that on both sides. my brother's in-laws were in their 90s, and the wife used to complain about her husband of 50-some years. And it was like, George didn't do this, and George didn't do that. And George was a walking saint. He was a wonderful guy. And whatever she wanted, he would do it eventually or whatever. And she'd be like, oh, why didn't he do this? And I looked at her one day, and I said, why are you always complaining about George? And she said, well, I can't let him get away with anything. And I thought, this man died at 96. He didn't get away with anything.
Yeah.
But she felt a need to keep telling him all of her complaints all the time. And I thought, oh, my gosh, God bless him.
See? But it is true. That is. But it's normal.
I know it's normal, but
everybody
maybe
picks
you
at
don't
everybody.
Need to pick.
No,
so
maybe
much.
Not, but we do.
Okay. And you know what? Is picking going to get you a different result?
No, it isn't.
No. You're
going to
make
worse.
Yourself miserable. You're going to make the other person miserable. And, you know, where does it really get you? Does it improve your relationship? And I don't think people really have that insight, instead of stopping and saying, oh, wow, is this really working for me? Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's not really working. And either you need to change what you're doing, or you stop doing it because you're making everybody miserable. And, you know, people are as happy as they make up their mind to be.
True.
So you see happy people in miserable situations, and people that are miserable in a pretty decent situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. Yes. What's the matter? You're not saying anything. This
not
is
about that.
Well, that's uncharacteristic.
Only because that one is, I think is, it makes you, it makes me realize, but yet I think it's a common, everybody picks at everything and on everyone.
Quite honestly, you see a lot of people that are very negative about marriage. And I think that's...
Well, that's true.
That's not a good thing.
You mean while they're in it or
while
they're out of it?
And while no. But negative while they're in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, referring to their spouse in a derogatory way.
That's wrong.
You see an awful lot of that. And really, why in the world would somebody want to stay in that kind of relationship?
Yeah, I know.
And I don't think people hear themselves.
And I wonder if they say it to someone else, do they say it to them?
I think so.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. And really, you know, people are only going to stay miserable for so long.
Uh-huh.
And then you say, okay, fine. And now I'm going to stop banging my head against the wall because it's not so pleasant.
Right. And then they come and say, Attorney Barbara O'Hara, could you help me? So if they do, how can they get in touch with you?
I am at 1421 East Drinker Street in Dunmore. My phone number is 570-344-7171, and I practice in Lackawanna, Luzerne, Wayne, Wyoming, and Susquehanna.
There you go.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And be safe on parade day.
Oh, yeah.
You got to watch that open container law.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be walking around with a beer. The cops will get you. Don't do the public urination. They'll get you for that, too. And whatever
like
you do, don't drive. Don't drive.
Please, dear God.
If you've had anything to drink, don't drive.
Uber, Lyft, a DD, whatever.
Yes. And they're a lot cheaper than a DUI.
Absolutely. Okay, right. Well, thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
We will see you next month.
Yes.
And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Lori and Lynn Show.
Here's Lori and Lynn.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show, and I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And our dear Miss Lynn Evans is on a beautiful trip to Florida, as we said earlier, on a business trip to Florida.
Laurie and I want to get into that
here
business.
We go. So Miss O'Hara is going to be exiting stage left in a minute, but I wanted to say that while we were talking, I did some quick Googling. Of course, the county of Lackawanna was incorporated on August 13th, 1878.
And how old is Friendship House?
Friendship House was started by a few women sat down and started to discuss things about the homeless, which was called Friends of the Homeless years before it was Friendship House, and that was in 1871.
Oh my goodness!
Which does not mean they weren't incorporated, but that's how long. So 8 years before the county was incorporated,
when it was
they
still part
started
of
and they started to do. And then I'm going to get the exact date on that because
isn't
I didn't want to keep looking. But just so
that's wonderful.
I have my facts straight on that. How about that?
In existence for that long.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Some form of it.
Exactly. It's
very,
amazing.
Very
so
cool.
Keep it up. So anyway,
yes. All right.
Thank you,
Happy
Barbara.
Happy parade day.
Thank you. See you soon. So Rach. We said before, the Scranton Cultural Center, Rach, first of all, this is, again, we properly introduce Rachel Fronduti, who is the marketing manager for the Scranton Cultural Center. Rachel and I worked together for lots of years, mm-hmm. and I know that the invitations are going out soon.
Yes.
So you will be getting them. You'll see them. And we thought we could talk a little bit about what actually goes on. The invitations are out, what's listed on the invitation, because that's important for people to know. Mm-hmm. What goes on at this event, and maybe we could talk a little bit about if you want to buy a ticket, what you can do, how much they are, when it is, and what to expect. So let's start with the invitation itself. I know that has to go out long in advance, and lots of information is on there from all of the restaurants, Rach, that you get to the media hosts and sponsors.
Yes.
Okay, so talk about that.
So we are actually in the process of finalizing all of that right now, and we're going to be doing our invitation writing within the next week. So that's always a fun time for the committee to kind of get together. But in our invitation, it includes the information about our honorary chairpersons, which are very important to the success of the event. We involve honorary chairpersons to kind of engage their circle of friends so that we can hopefully get the long-standing supporters of the Cultural Center and events like Evening of Fine Food and Wine, but also bring in new people that can hopefully become new supporters of what we do. So this year's honorary chairpersons are Deborah and Michael Kolsovsky and Tom and Marge Tulaney. Deb is affiliated with PNC, and they've been a long-standing
sponsor
of Evening of Fine Food and Wine, so we're very excited to have Deb and her husband on board, and Tom Tulaney and his wife Marge. Tom is on our board, so I think they're great representatives from the community and great affiliations with the Cultural Center.
And also Deb's a past president of the Scranton Cultural Center board, which is always good, and she's I'm so happy that that's a good mix. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So what are the restaurants, Rach?
Well, our entree restaurants, we have Carmen's at the Radisson, The Colonnade and Pasha, the Scranton Club, Fire and Ice on Toby Creek, the French Manor, and the Hilton, Scranton, and Conference Center.
Great.
And so those restaurants, if you're not familiar, they'll be stationed in different rooms throughout the Cultural Center. So the night kind of takes place as a tour of our facility, as well as, you know, a time to taste different dishes from restaurants and sample wine pairings.
Goes so, right through. And and I say, you have to say the amount of money, time, and talent that these restaurants, all of them, but most importantly, the five entrees, is tremendous.
And absolutely.
Because it's important to say that this fundraiser is so important to you guys because it's a major one, but also the overhead and the expense on your side is next to nothing because of the restaurant's contribution to this event, which is huge.
Yeah, right. And I mean, the great thing too is they pull out all the stops. Mm-hmm. It's not like, okay, we're going to do a donation and we're just going to do the bare minimum. It's never like that. It's always over the top. It's always unexpected, and it's certainly always delicious.
Right. So go ahead. I'm interrupting you. I'm sorry.
we start out the night in the ballroom, and we will have appetizers with Constantino's Catering, Cooper's Seafood House, Henry's Enclay, which is a new addition this year. We're very excited to add them in. Peculiar Culinary Company, Slocum Hollum at Montage Mountain, and Vine Cafe. And then we'll end the evening with desserts, where we'll have coffee by Electric City Roasting Company, which I always tell everyone it's my favorite cup of coffee of the year because it's just so delicious after all the delicious food. And we'll have desserts by Epicurean Delight, Harvest Seasonal Grill and Wine Bar, and Zumo's. And I think we'll have a couple more. We're kind of finalizing the desserts right now.
Yeah.
So, but definitely a wide variety of places from a lot of different areas throughout our area. And I think the other thing that's great is it's an opportunity to try food from places that maybe you've heard of, you've thought, oh, I don't know if I want to make the drive there.
Right.
And you kind of get a feel for what they offer and what they're about. So it's a nice opportunity in that regard as well.
Great. The other important aspect we can say, because we're on a radio show talking about it, is your media partnerships and the media hosts that help in the rooms, from announcing some of the auction items to the actual room they're in and giving some history. And I always, regardless of how many times you go to Fine Food and Wine, you hear something that you may not have heard before, depending on how much wine or anything else, or if you're paying attention. Really, you learn something new.
Yeah.
So who's helping you this year in as far as that, the media hosts?
Well, from Entercom, we have Nancy Kamen and Freddie Fabry are going to be with us again, and they both have been with us for many years, and we love having them back. From the Scranton Times, we're going to have Patrice Wilding, Brian Fulton, and Gio Mazur. And then from WBRE, we're going to have the whole morning team. So we will have Kelly Byrne, Stefano DiPietro, Josh Hodel, and Chris Langlois.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, and I think it's also a fun time for the public too, because they see some of these names in print, they hear people on the radio, they see people on TV, and it's nice to have that in-person kind of interaction. And I think that's an interesting thing too about today, is that I don't feel like there's that same wall that there was between like local news talent or local personalities, because they are all out in the community so much and being engaged in all sorts of different events.
And this one especially, because these people come back year after year because they really like what they do. Because it really is a great night. If you guys listening have never been, it's the spring, so you're kind of geared up. It's always at the end of April. You want to get out there. You're kind of like, okay, cabin fever. I want to do something. It's a little usually warmer. And it's a great way, like you said, to see different restaurants. And even if, because thankfully the five have been with us now for a long time, Rach, and that's the most important part of not of the event, but getting those five people locked in because of the expense, and they've been so committed to the cultural center, is that going there and being able to, even if it's you've been there at your favorite restaurant, you're not going to get the same meal that you had the year before. So you're going to be able to get a different sampling of what it is, get a nice pour of wine. It always complements the food because they bring it. And then you hear the chefs or the owners of these restaurants tell you how they're doing it, why they did. And most importantly to the cultural centers, why they believe they should keep coming back year after year to help this place out. Because it's probably, what, your second highest fundraiser now after the 100 for 100? Or is it comparable?
Yeah, second highest.
Yeah, because I think 100 for 100 it's a little bit different, and it works, and that'll be in October, right? Okay, which date? Do you know the date on that?
The Oktoberfest is going to be, I believe, October 11th.
Okay.
It's the second Friday in October.
But this has always, which year are we in now?
The 19th.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we're coming up on a big milestone next year.
Whoa. And I know it was started many, many years ago when Regina Peters was the development director and came up with the idea, and as a matter of fact she was one of the chair people a few years back, and she this think when you start something like that and it's still going on, it's amazing.
Oh, I can imagine.
And just to be But from your standpoint, to keep reaching out to these people for mm-hmm. their assistance and what they do, it's and it takes a lot of work, as we were talking about earlier with Barb. You are always thinking so far out because you know the invitations and what you mentioned before, the writing of the invitations. Mm-hmm. There's no stamped, you know, stuck on label for this. It's a group of people in the committee sit and actually write out these invitations. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a nice little night out. Everybody gets together, talks, and has this and does it as a labor of love so that they look pretty when they present it. And the, it's always, you can tell what's coming because the wine mm-hmm. bottle is right out yeah. on the return envelope,
yep.
which is really cool. So what else is happening with that? Any other news? Any new things? How did you work? I'm sure you don't have all your auction items lined up yet, do you?
We don't yet. We're working on that. We do have a few things. And I know there's some other irons in the fire, but that's always a fun part of the evening. And it's always fun to see what we end up with for our silent auction. And the great part about our silent auction is it actually helps with another area of fundraising that we're involved in, which is NEPA Match Day through the Scranton Area Foundation.
Mm-hmm. So you've been participating in that for a while, right?
We've participated in it every year that it's been okay. in existence. This is its fifth year,
and
I believe.
Just tell everybody how that works.
Well, this year it's a little different. It used to be 25 nonprofits. This year, because it's the Scranton Area Foundation 65th yeah. anniversary, they expanded it to 30 nonprofits. So it's an application process. And the goal is to raise as much money as you can. But the Scranton Area Foundation will match donations for Match Day dollar for dollar up to $1,000. So the minimum you would hope to raise is $1,000. I think last year, I want to say we raised between 13 and 14 with Evening of Fine Food and Wine donations that came through Match Day events that we participated in. So it was really a great success for us last year. And I think the total number last year was something like 120,000 or something that all of the organizations raised. Yeah, so it was like, it's a really cool thing to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And it's humbling to be a part of an event full with so many deserving organizations, and a reminder that there are even more that aren't able to participate.
Right.
So it's really a great reminder of all the great things in our community, for sure.
Let's talk about, too, for the Evening of Fine Food and Wine, the date and how much and how you can get your tickets.
It is Sunday, April 28th. It kicks off at 5:30 with cocktail hour in the ballroom. Tickets are $100 per person. And this year we're kind of bringing back, we had this a while ago, we're bringing back the patron level, which is $125. And that extra donation entitles you to some extra recognition on the night of the event. And we'll be including that information also on our website and social media. So, you know, we'll be able to give you a special thank you for considering an extra donation. And you can get tickets online at our website, sccmt.org, or through our box office. The number for our box office is 570-344-1111. And you can call or you can visit them in person Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., or Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And tell everybody quickly, because we have two more minutes, what's coming up after that? How's your summer going with the children's theater and all that stuff?
Well, we're super excited. Our kiddos right now just started working on The Music Man, mm-hmm. and they're very excited about that. And we're excited to kind of bring a more classic theater piece to our stage, and that's going to be on our main stage in May. I believe it's May 10th, 11th, and 12th. And we're looking forward to summer camp, where we'll be doing full-scale productions of Mary Poppins Jr. and Bye Bye Birdie for young audiences, I think.
Great.
It is.
I
young
love
performers.
It. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, Rach, thank you for joining
thank
us
you.
Today. And thank you for listening, everybody out there. Lynn, we hope you have a safe journey back. And happy St. Patrick's Day parade to everybody. Enjoy and be safe. Mm-hmm. So please, again, as I always close, be safe and please be nice. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.